Sri Aurobindo points out that above the world of intellectual inquiry, above the world of intellectual thought, there is a realm of experiences, not sense experience. Sense experience is only limited to sense organs. Sense experiences are only experiences dependent upon the sense organs. But that there are experiences which are supersensuous, this realm cannot be understood by intellectual process, whether it is scientific or critical. Particularly when you go to realms of experiences of the kind that I spoke to you, the overstanding, experience of overstanding, when you go above the object altogether, not by a process of thinking, which is attempted in the critical process of thinking. You try to go above the object, try to seize it from above. But really you go above this whole field of abstract thought. In concrete experience, you grasp the object and know the object as it is. In which there is no possibility of an error because it is directly perceived. Not thought over, not speculated over. There is no speculation about it. It is really known. As Sri Aurobindo says, there is an experience in which the knower and the known become one in the process of knowledge. When the knower and the known become one, there is no possibility of error. So there is a supersensuous experience which cannot be brought under the ken of critical reflection. Critical reasoning cannot come into the picture and say, look, I am a judge of what can be known or cannot be known in supersensuous experience, because reason has no experience of it. Reason by its very nature is reasoning, is speculative, is only abstraction. It has no hold on the experience. So how can it sit on the judgment and say, look, I can also judge what I have never experienced? It's unfit to examine. And yet, even there is a room where critical reason can also be allowed to judge the suprasensuous experience. But with the condition that critical reasoning has to be extremely humble, extremely polite, courteous, has to be very, very honest. And admit at every step of his judgment, whether it is judging only on the basis of words and ideas, or is able to respect whatever is the substance of experience which are expressed in words and ideas. A very honest, reflective power is needed. That role can be given to critical reasoning in the life divine. You find room for this kind of critical reflection even with regard to suprasensuous experience, but on the condition which I laid down just now: critical reflection should know what it is, namely it is ideative in character, that it does not have a direct contact with the substantiality of experience. that the only way in which it grasps any substantiality of experience is through words and ideas. Having understood this, keeping these limitations in the mind, it can compare this suprasensuous experience and that suprasensuous experience. Can even tell you whether this suprasensuous experience is expressed properly or not, whether they seem to be harmonious or not, they can be coordinated properly or not. Provided it will not be a final judgment, that simply because they cannot be coordinated by me, therefore it must be false. If critical reflection takes up this role, then that is denied. So now we come to this final conclusion regarding one of the aspects of the life divine. The life divine takes the position that scientific process of knowledge as understood today, namely process of knowledge based upon sense experience, is not the only method of knowledge. Philosophical method is very useful to go beyond the assumptions of science. There should be, therefore, a full freedom and utility in questioning the assumptions of science. These assumptions, when questioned, should follow rigorous canons of critical thought. I have not yet spoken of the canons of critical thought because it's a very vast subject. We shall see it when we study life divine as a whole in gradual time. You should rigorously follow the canons of critical thought and yet would not allow mere speculations coming upon you as knowledge. Philosophical speculation is not knowledge. There, Sri Aurobindo agrees with some of the modern trends where they do not accept that philosophy gives you knowledge. Sri Aurobindo agrees, philosophy does not give you knowledge. But philosophy has a great utility in going beyond the domains of the assumptions of science. Finally, that critical reflection, which ends in some kind of speculation, should be used as a ladder or a springboard to go beyond the whole realm of thought, whole realm of intellectuality, and understand, try to understand suprasensuous experiences. Try to understand what can be called the science of suprasensuous experiences, a new science, which may be similar to the sensuous experiences and science of sensuous experience, but not entirely. You should not apply the same canons in regard to scientific knowledge which are applied in the field of sensuous experience. Yoga is a science, but its own methods are not identical with the methods which are employed in the sensuous sciences. The critical reflection, the philosophical mind should be able to understand and grasp this. It may apply its critical judgment wherever it wants so that all dogmas can be bombarded And this utility is of capital importance. But it should not therefore take up the role of sitting upon judgments, sitting upon in judgment over the claims of suprasensuous experiences. Particularly those experiences, suprasensuous experiences of many kinds. Sri Aurobindo has spoken of the whole realm of suprasensuous experiences. And all suprasensuous experiences are not of the same category. They do not carry the same kind of validity. But whatever the validity, degrees of probability or degrees of certainty, they cannot be determined by the critical reflection. They can be determined only by experiences. Sri Aurobindo maintains that experience itself can be a judge of experience. You don't need a rational faculty to judge an experience. It is true that reason can reflect upon experiences. It is possible. But apart from reason itself judging an experience, there is another faculty within the field of experience itself which can judge the experience without going to the critical reflection. To the extent to which critical reflection may be allowed a role in judging experiences and even suprasensuous experiences is a question of a very sober, humble process which may be allowed but never be allowed to have preponderance or sovereignty. In one of the paragraphs of the Life Divine, this is the last line I am speaking, where he is criticizing Shankara's philosophy, and there he says that all the arguments which have so far been leveled against the philosophy of Shankara are valid from the point of view of critical intelligence. And then he says, but in the field of spiritual experience, one single experience of the spirit can undo the whole edifice of the logic derived from sense experience and reflective thought. And therefore Sri Aurobindo says that the claim of Shankara's philosophy that it is based upon experience of the immobile Brahman is decisive. If critical intellect comes and says, oh, such an experience is impossible, this is arrogance of the critical thought. How can critical thought say that immobile Brahman cannot be experienced? And Sri Aurobindo says that if that experience is the final experience, then whatever illogicality in the philosophy of Shankara, we have to admit Shankara's philosophy as final. If the experience of Shankara is the only ultimate experience, it is only, Sri Aurobindo says, it is only because there are other suprasensuous experiences of equal validity or even of a superior validity, not judged by the critical intelligence, but judged by the suprasensuous experience itself. It is because of that reason that you have to make a room for a perception which is different from the perception that Shankara presents. Now this is the structure of the argument. We must be able to understand the structure of the argument, how he structures. We shall go into this later on when we come to Shankara's philosophy itself. But this was only an introductory presentation just to give a first-hand candlelight, as it were. Tomorrow we shall go into some further depth, if you so permit. All right. Thank you.